Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories that tell us something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on July 25th, 2015, at the Peace Farm in Missoula, Montana. Six storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Why I Stayed. Today's story comes to us from Debbie Hirschberg and is titled Roar. Thank you for listening.
Whew, I do. Okay, I'm a little nervous. So I'm just going to say that and then I'll be done with it. So why I stayed. I could not roar. I could not do it. I was with he was my love at first sight. He came out of nowhere in Big Sky, Montana, out of the cold, with his big old smile, his nice little dog, and he was moving in. And I helped him carry all of his stuff up to the third floor. We had a great time. We met, and then I left him to go hang out with my other friends and tell them what had just happened. This amazing person I had just met. We had a great love affair. It didn't last very long, but the winter and the spring, and when you're 20, that's pretty long. And we were ending, like, it was the spring, and we were camping on the Madison River, and it was just he and I and his dog, Daly, and his cat, Francis. He always took his cat, Francis, camping. It was the weirdest thing. But anyway, and we were having some discussion or some romantic play. I can't remember exactly where it was, but he had challenged me to roar. He had just, you know, roar like a tiger, like, do that. And I could not do it. And I don't know why. And I tried, and I was mute. It was and we left camping, and he and our relationship kind of just pittered away. And he dropped me off for my job with the Bitterroot Hotshot Crew. It was my first year with them down in Darby. And so we dissipated, and I was with mostly Ahmed. There was one gal on our 20-person crew. And so it was a lot of testosterone there, and I kind of just fell right into it. It was really easy because it was easy to be solid and not be open at all, and I didn't need to roar. I was tough. I was really strong, and I had a lot of power, so I didn't need to do that. And we'd spend a lot of time, obviously, out in the woods, and on our downtime, we spent a lot of time in the bars, and so I drank a lot, and I just wasn't smoking at that time just because I couldn't, like, hike a lot of mountains and still be smoking, even though I love smoking. So I chewed a lot of Copenhagen. That's kind of what I did. And during the winters, during the off season, I would just kind of travel around. I went to Colorado. I'd go to Tahoe. I'd just various things with various friends and partners and had a really good time. But I never really had any sense of home. I was born and raised in Oregon, but I was raised mostly by my dad, and my mother died when I was really little. So my dad and my brother and I were, for the most part, and I just never really felt home there. So I just would come and go there and traveled around. And anyway, I went back to for my third year with the Bitterroot Hotshot Crew and knew I was getting tired of it. There was a couple more females that time. There was probably four of us. But I was getting tired of sleeping on the ground and being really dirty. And I wasn't really a great person because I was just really tough. It was really easier to be tough and be a bitch than to just be like a, I don't know, just a nice person. So I remember like one of the turning points, I kind of knew I was pittering out of it when we were at the, doing some R&R in Missoula. And we ended up at the bar at the Mustang Sally's, now known as the Fox Club, but it was totally just Mustang Sally's at that time. And we were drinking, and my friend Sean and I were having some sort of a conversation. I can't remember what it was about, but somehow he had pissed me off in some way. And so I socked him. I like went totally I could have knocked him out, but he's a strong guy and I didn't. But I hit him really hard, enough where his body turned. And he slowly turned his body back to center, and he looked at me and he said, "Debbie, you are much stronger than you think you are. Please don't do that again." And he remained had incredible composure for just being hit pretty hard by me. I was much stronger then, in that way, physically anyways. Anyway, I finished the season and realized, like, I can't do this anymore. This is not good for me. I'm not a very good person. And so that winter, instead of traveling around, I needed a foundation, and I ended up moving to Missoula and living in a condo with a girlfriend of mine and that I met. But I didn't know anybody else in Missoula. And so I had my truck, and I was back to rolling my smokes because I didn't have to chew anymore because I didn't have to hike anymore. And so I didn't really know. Missoula's kind of confusing. Like, if you don't know where you're going, how to get there, driving around, like, it gets kind of confusing. So I kind of stayed isolated, and I did take some mandolin lessons, and I kind of putzed around. And one of my favorite things to do was grab the Independent and flip through that and check out what music was going on, what was going to go on that weekend. And mostly it was, you know, anything after 10, because I could go to the bar and I could smoke. It was when smoking was still legal in the bars in Montana. And I found myself at the Ritz one night when the Ritz was the Ritz on Ryman, and one of my favorite dance bands was playing there. It was the Tom Catmull Band, and I was doing my drinking, smoking thing. It was great. I do a lot of drinking and smoking. Thank goodness I'm so much better now. I was still very masculine at the time. Like, I had dreadlocks a long time ago, but I had cut them off. So my hair was really short and curly, and I was wearing my cargo pants still. And I didn't wear a bra, because why would you wear a bra? I mean, it doesn't really matter. It didn't really matter at that time. And this guy came up to me, the bass player of the band, and he struck up conversation with me and had a nice chat with him until he didn't. And then we continued to interact a little bit here and there, and then we kind of became friends, and we ended up going out and starting hiking, and he showed me Missoula. He took me to the top of Mount Sentinel and the top of Mount Jumbo and down in the Bitterroot, and opened up this amazing community for me. It was really, really amazing. And finally, I think it was probably like April-ish about then, and this is in 2002, and I needed to get started a job because I wasn't going to go back to the Forest Service. I knew that. And so I was looking. I had applied at the Good Food Store when the Good Food Store was on Kensington still, in that tiny little store. It was really nice. And this guy had offered me a job. He was working at a Chinese restaurant, Honey Teriyaki, out on Brooks, and he says, "I can get you a job," you know? And I was like, I don't know. So I did. I turned down the job from the Good Food Store, and I ended up taking this job at this Chinese restaurant with this guy just to get to know him a little better. It seemed kind of fun. He'd shown me a lot of fun stuff, and I could not possibly be loving this guy. Like, that would be crazy. Couldn't do that. He was 20 years older than me. He was a musician. He was, like, I don't know, kind of crusty, you know? Like, I can't really fall in love with this guy. And but I did. I fell in love with him. And we worked in the restaurant. It was such a nice, like, romantic period. It was, like, getting to know each other. It was great. People used to think that we were married. Like, we were, like, the married couple that owned this Chinese restaurant. It's like, no. And then the big, tall Chinese guy would come out smoking his cigarette, you know, and, you know, serving us Chinese food. But anyway, and we ended up falling in love, and he showed me Missoula. And not only did he show me Missoula, he showed me myself, and I was able to open up, and this gruff, tough person was kind of dissipating, and I was able to communicate with him and myself, which was really, really important. And I started to blossom and become this learning, I don't know, just this person that was interested in life in a whole different way. And let's see, I think I have one more thing to say. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. And that's when I realized I could roar. It took me probably 6 years into our relationship of now 13 years before I was able to just do that. And now I can do it pretty regularly. I probably could do it right now, but I might scare everybody. And sometimes I do that, and I'm talking to someone, and I'm actually telling a similar story, and I'll pull out the roar, and they get really uncomfortable and kind of like, yeah, you're really funny, Debbie. But I stayed in Missoula because I found my home here. I found my family here. I found my love here. And that's why I stayed in Missoula. Yeah.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Special thanks to Ryan Bundy, who provided the sound equipment for this Tell Us Something event. Learn more about Ryan and his music at RyanBundy.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, rockandrudys.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers, Tracy Worley, Debbie Hirschberg, Barbara Bartmus, Emily Johnson, Stephanie Wing, and Brian Marsh. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story. TellUsSomething.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.